It's about time. I begged him 25 minutes ago, flip the switch. I want to talk now.
You guys have no idea. He's been at this for 30 minutes. Come on, let's go now.
Let's go.
Let's go. Turn the thing on. Flip the switch.
I'll go kick the satellite in the knee. I'll kick it in the shins. When it bends over to go, ouch, then we'll throw the signal off and it'll be us on the air. Welcome to Wednesday. Buckle up, friends. Just buckle up. The email yesterday in response to some of the things we talked about yesterday and then a story that broke later in the day. I'm not going to say I broke the story because someone came up with the information about the positive test results, like 100% at all kinds of hundreds of testing sites in Florida, that they're testing 100%. That's now news. You heard
really?
It in the Fox. Yeah, it was just in the Fox News.
That was off the Facebook feed.
That was sent to me in an email.
Wow.
It came to us in a Facebook feed a few days ago. Then we got the written, a little something that, you know, when you get something that has been posted online, you have to be careful.
Yeah.
Because people are really good at doctoring documents.
Yeah.
Well, Orlando's Fox 35 had taken that information and made a few phone calls. It's now news.
Wow.
I had a very lengthy email that I sent to some people with the state government, State Department of Health, and we'll see where it all leads. But just, and that's not, I had two stories that were so, in my mind, big. I wasn't just, you know, the little scales of, these were, on the other side. These were massively important stories. We'll do them both. They are the big stories today. And so just buckle up. That's all I'll tell you. It's not like anything's going to change today as a result of these stories. It's just not, because there are too many people that have dug in their heels on things. And for example, the FHSA was holding an emergency meeting to decide the future of fall sports for high school athletics in Florida. Devastatingly bad decisions are being made. Now, I don't know what they're going to do, but I can guess. I think they're going to cancel. I think they're going to cancel fall sports. And they're going to hurt kids by doing it. I you heard me ask Mary Mayhew yesterday. I think we have to learn to live. We got to learn to live with this stuff. But anyway, I digress. Here is our verse of the day, Matthew 12:35. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Here's what the devotional says. Our thoughts lead to our words. Our words lead to our actions. Our actions lead to our habits. Our habits form our character. Let me say that again. Our thoughts lead to our words. And I want to stop there. And I want to go back to, out of the abundance of the heart, that's what comes out of the mouth. And so be mindful of the things that you look at, the things that you meditate on, the things that you listen to, because the repetition of those things, remember what we talked about. Who was it that said it? Thomas Sowell said it. Goebbels, the Nazis. Repeat a lie long enough, loud enough, often enough, and it becomes believed. That's the mainstream media echo chamber, but more importantly, that's the echo chamber of our heart. Be careful of the things that you think about, that you dwell on, that you take in. Our thoughts lead to our words lead to our actions lead to our habits form our character. 10 minutes after the hour, this date in history, and more. You can tell. You can feel it, can't you? You can feel it. It's hump day on the morning show with Preston Scott.
Beck program.
It's time to act like Spock. Stop feeling and just use reason.
9 to noon on WFLA.
Minutes after the hour, the morning show. Oh, wait. Forgot. I teased it and I completely forgot. That's where my mind is right now. I am absolutely forward casting right now. All right, it's July 15th. What does that mean for some of you? It's payday. Sadly, not enough of you. And we're shooting ourselves in the foot. Got to get back to work. Got to take the mandate off. We have to take the mandate off. You can't order people to wear clothing, to wear some. You can't do that, people. You just can't. What you say is, hey, there's a virus going around. Be smart. That's what you say, and you move along. Anyway, July 15th, 1862, Confederate ironclad Arkansas pounds its way to a fleet of Union warships blockading Vicksburg on the Mississippi River. 1912, Jim Thorpe, one of the greatest athletes in U.S. history, shatters the world record in the decathlon at the Olympics in Stockholm, Sweden. Wouldn't you love to see? Wouldn't it have been amazing to have video of some of the things that have happened in history that we don't have? We take that for granted.
Yeah.
Jim Thorpe, man. I mean, rightfully so. Everybody knows Jesse Owens. And I was fortunate enough to spend a couple of afternoons sitting very quietly, if you can imagine that, me sitting quietly at a table with my dad and Jesse Owens as they talked and shared stories. And Jesse Owens, man, wow. But Jim Thorpe preceded Jesse Owens. Just an amazing athlete. 1 year later, on July 15th, Augustus Bacon of Georgia becomes the first senator elected by popular vote. Before the 17th Amendment, senators were elected by state legislators.
His name was Augustus Bacon?
How perfect is
he
that?
Sounds like a character out of Willy Wonka.
Or like Pets.
Somebody had their dog elected to the Senate. This is Augustus Bacon.
And the pig walks up, carrying a briefcase. I need to recommend that to my wife as an homage, because my wife's writing, we have a character that she's developed, and I say we, because a few years ago, prior to Christmas, like months in advance, one of our kids and I spent time interviewing illustrators from around the world, and we had to do it virtually. And I hired an illustrator, and I described the character that my wife wants to do a series of children's books. Mm-hmm. And I described this character to all of these designers, artists, illustrators. And we had one from the UK. We had one from Israel. We had one from, I want to say, Australia, one from the Czech Republic, the old Czech Republic or whatever it's called now. I don't know what it is. We had a couple in America, and we ended up choosing this young lady from the UK, and she's brilliant. And it was just so much fun because she took the description of the character and brought it to life. And I had it blown up. I put a big fat head of it in my wife's office at her school. And then I had it framed with some of the original drawings, some of the just black and white drawings, and then the full color in the middle. And so,
kind of that, an evolution of character thing?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And I see this, and I think Cynthia needs to use Augustus Bacon as a character in her. And trust me, it'll make sense someday.
Such a great name.
Yeah, it is. And 1916, Pacific Aero Products, later named Boeing, was founded in Seattle by William Boeing. So there you go, this date in history. We come back. llamas. I'm not kidding. And a trip to the commissary yesterday in our building that lasted all the day long on the morning show with Preston Scott.
FLA at WFLAFM.com on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos, and iHeart's radio station.
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
It is. It's hump day. Good morning. Dallas Rogers over there, Studio 1A. I'm here in Studio 1B. It is show 4289. Got to be a relative of a camel, right? A llama? You'd have to think. The mouth is so similar in shape. Fifi the llama. Reading, UK. They are working at the Rosalind Franklin Institute on llama-based COVID-specific antibody cocktails.
Of course, that goes without saying.
It involves engineering llama antibodies, which are relatively small, much more simply structured than antibodies in our own blood. Size and structure means they can be redesigned in the lab. So what they do is they take blood from the llama. They identify which antibodies show weak binding to viruses. The weakly binding antibodies are then engineered to create new nanobodies, which bind tightly. The new nanobodies bind to the virus spike, blocking it, and then the virus can't enter human cells. It is neutralized. So that's where they are. So, they say they are within maybe a couple months of clinical trials. So there you go. Llamas, ladies and gentlemen.
How do you think they figured that out? That it was llamas that have that one particular trait that...
The little miniature simplified cells? Yeah, that's what researchers do. They look at the blood of all kinds of weird things. And that, I mean, look at them. Look at llamas. Do they look like they have a care in life? Do they look like they're sweating a virus?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, can you imagine that in the back of the building, there's probably a massive auditorium-sized space with every different type of animal just standing back there like, what are you here for? I don't know. They took some blood.
Llamas.
Watch out, they spit.
What's up? Yeah?
They do.
I stay at a hotel when we drive up to Ohio. Sometimes we stop. I want to say it's north of Knoxville. Might be just south of Knoxville. I forget, but it's on 75 heading north. And it's a beautiful little hotel. It's a Hampton Inn, and the guy who owns it basically told the chain, yeah, Pound Sand, it's my hotel, I'll do what I want. He has a giant hillside and he has llamas there.
Oh, yeah.
He's got like four or five llamas, and they're awesome.
I actually knew, when I was growing up, I knew somebody had two of them in their field.
Yeah.
And it was the weirdest thing, too. I mean, if you've seen Napoleon Dynamite and Tina, the llama constantly, stupid llama, you know, just.
Right.
It was that, you know, every now and then they'd come in and they'd be like, hey, Carrie, you got to go feed whatever the name was. I don't remember what their names were. And he'd get all mad. All right, come on, grab a bucket.
Well, yesterday I was here for a little while and I just got the urge to have a little snack. And I went into the commissary. And I saw something that just hit me. It's like, yeah. And it's the Fridays cheddar and bacon potato skins.
Yeah, TGI Fridays.
Yeah, now basically they're potato chips.
Yeah.
Okay, let's not kid ourselves. They're not potato skins. But that's the flavor they're mimicking. And that's, I just was like, yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And so I dropped that thing down there and opened them up. And I should have known. When I opened them up, there's just, I don't know if you've ever, I made the mistake once of eating a graham cracker that was freshly wrapped in a box that had been, unbeknownst to me, sitting in the back of our pantry for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And so when I opened it up, all the cardboard from the box had infused through the wax paper and into that, and it was just, it was awful. Mm-hmm. It was awful. Mm-hmm. Here's what I can't figure out. Yes, I determined that the potato skins were greatly dated by nearly a year. Best used by date had long gone in the rearview mirror.
November 2019.
But what I can't figure out is why did it have that distinctive cardboard smell when there's nothing cardboard in that machine? It hadn't been in a box in forever. So what I've come to the conclusion is that it's not cardboard that's being absorbed. There is some kind of chemical breakdown that goes on. Mm-hmm. And I need someone to explain to me what that was, because I literally was sick all day. I went home and I was sick all day. I not like throwing up sick, but just short of that. It was awful.
I don't want to get too technical and talk over everybody's head. And
okay, Dr. terms, Dallas.
But I believe they call that icky.
I thought you were going to hit me with some knowledge. That would be what my brother Bill would have called it. Icky. That's just icky. All I can tell you is someone knows what happened. And I want you to tell me, because what happened, I need to call the authorities, because what took place in that bag was a crime.
Spin stops here. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Okay, 36, almost 37 minutes after the hour, the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Good morning. Here we go. Yesterday, we talked about the story, and I mentioned specifics to Mary Mayhew with the Florida Agency of Healthcare Administration for Healthcare Administration. And we mentioned from last week, I believe it was, we were notified of some labs. And it might have even been early this week. It might have been Monday. I don't know.
It was
it
Monday.
All runs together.
Yeah.
That were sending out swabs, tests that had not been used, and they were coming back positive. Well, now the story's been picked up. Fox 35 in Orlando. But listen to this. I'm reading directly from their story. Countless labs have reported 100% positivity rate, which means every single person tested was positive. Other labs had very high positivity rates. Fox 35 News found that testing sites like one local, Centricare, reported that 83 people were tested and all tested positive. Then NCF Diagnostics in Alachua reported 88% tests were positive. How could that be? Fox 35 News investigated these astronomical numbers, contacting every location mentioned in the report. The report showed, listen now, that Orlando Health had a 98% positivity rate. However, when Fox 35 News contacted the hospital, they confirmed errors in the report. Orlando Health's positivity rate is only 9.4%. 98% is in the report. The report also showed that Orlando Veterans Medical Center had a positivity rate of 76%. A spokesman said that does not reflect their numbers. They had a positivity rate in the center at 6%. Now, here's the problem. The story from Fox 35 is a little bit of apples, and we're talking a little oranges here, because we're talking about a specific set of tests reported on July 11th that showed 100% of 333 different Florida COVID testing centers, testing labs, reported 100% results in one day. That every single person. Now, as we discussed yesterday, if you had 5-8 people that came in and they were sick, I can believe that. Mm-hmm. They all tested positive. 444? No freaking way.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
Nope.
And you start to add this up and now back out here, let me put it this way. If you can dismiss the politicization of this particular plague, and that there are people that hate DeSantis, that hate Trump, that want this to be a let's destroy the economy and hope these people don't get reelected issue. I'm just, as I wrote to the governor's office yesterday and the Florida Department of Health, I am not ruling out an effort by some of these labs across the state to try to persuade public opinion through faulty results. You do what you want with that information, but that's the story, and it's just one of the two big stories in the press box.
Show with Preston Scott.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
All righty, 42 minutes after the hour on the morning show with Preston Scott. Now, let me just ask you. If you hadn't been listening to the show over the last few days, would you have even considered this? Some of you, yes. Absolutely. And some of you got this story. But we talked about it yesterday morning because we got somebody who sent us the actual list of labs. It's a partial list, but it's a list of top to bottom of those 333 labs. This matters. It calls into question everything that's going on here.
Mm-hmm. All these numbers and stuff that we're basing these decisions to shut down businesses, to stop people from going to work, to issue tickets for not wearing masks, all of it is skewed by the results of these tests. How many positive coronavirus that we have in that we have? This blows me away.
And this is why I love my job. Not because I get to be the bearer of bad news, but because this stuff happens and the mainstream media doesn't want to touch it. Now, God bless Fox 35 Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
There will be an effort right now to try to discredit this story.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Are more people getting this? Yes, we knew it would happen. There's no surprise there. Now, let me pivot to the other big story. Barry Weiss, you probably never heard of her. New York Times opinion columnist and editor. She resigned. She quit the Times. She quit the Times, and let me read from her letter of resignation. She said she came there in 2017 to help offer a different perspective. As the Times' failure to anticipate the outcome of the 2016 election meant that it didn't have a firm grasp of the country it covers. Fixing that issue is critical. But the lessons that ought to have followed the election, lessons about the importance of understanding other Americans, the necessity of resisting tribalism, and the centrality of the free exchange of ideas to a democratic society have not been learned. Instead, a new consensus has emerged in the press, but perhaps especially at this paper, that truth isn't a process of collective discovery, but an orthodoxy already known to an enlightened few whose job it is to inform everyone else. Twitter is not on the masthead of the New York Times, but the social media outlet acts as the ultimate editor. As the ethics and mores of that platform have become those of the paper itself has increasingly become a kind of performance space. Stories are chosen and told in a way to satisfy the narrowest of audiences, rather than to allow a curious public to read about the world and then draw their own conclusions. I was always taught that journalists were charged with writing the first rough draft of history. Now history itself is more ephemeral, molded to the thing of that fits the needs of the predetermined narrative.
Wow.
They have called me Nazi and racist. I have been constant bullied by my colleagues. And she goes on. This was in her letter of resignation to the owner of the New York Times, saying, how have you allowed this?
Wow. Good for you. Good.
Wow. Part of me wishes I could say that my experience was unique, but the truth is that intellectual curiosity, let alone risk-taking, is now a liability at the Times. Mic drop to what I've been saying for 20 years. 46 minutes after the hour.
And weather on the 10s and the truth all the time. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Holy smokes, the first hour's done?
Yeah.
I'm petitioning for more time. More time. Oh, my stars. And I didn't even get to your big story.
I know.
Go ahead.
Hey, I was prepared to come in here and talk about the biggest story in the world. I mean, you're talking about, you know, COVID tests and people's lives.
Whatever.
The president has let his people take his hair fully gray. He's no longer got that blondish orange tint to his hair, which to me was always the sticking point for me, because it's like, you know, he finally gets into the office and everyone was making fun of him, everyone was giving him a hard time and everything, and he comes in and all of a sudden he does these amazing things for the economy and these amazing things as a president, but he kept the orange and everyone's still targeting his hair. Now they can't. I think it's a brilliant move at a strategic time. And I love it.
If he can just get a handle, if someone get that 11-second delay on his beat, on his Twitter account, his tweeting, if he would just give Melania a dump button. No, Donald.
Then he'd never speak. See, you're like, no.
I love bypassing the media.
No.
I love bypassing the media.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And, oh, by the way, what you can make fun of it all you want. When was the last time you saw a president take the number of questions this guy's willing to take and stick around and talk?
Oh, well,
he entertains these fools like no other president in history.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is, and this is what I think is so refreshing about him, is he doesn't apologize for anything. Like, he's like, this is what I do. This is the decisions we made. We went over them. This is what we came out with. We thought this was the best move. I'm sorry if you don't like it, but this is what we decided. And I like that.
Yeah, that's why he's going to win re-election, is because there are a whole lot of people that like that. And there are more things they like than they dislike. And they know what they're getting with Biden. Anyway. Did you notice Disney's now fully open in the face of all of this that's been going on in Florida?
That is shocking.
Here's why it's not. They have a business to save.
I bet they do, yeah.
They have a business to save. And this is no longer about the optics of things. This is now I was reading a headline, Doug Schoen, and you don't know Doug Schoen's name unless you're a real political junkie. He's been a Democrat consultant for years. Doug Schoen said the primaries yesterday in parts of the country have shown two things. The president has momentum, and the Democrats are deeply divided. Now, where are you going to hear that narrative? This guy's a card-carrying Hillary Clinton supporter. I mean, and he's just calling it as he's seeing it. But you're not hearing that. We've talked about how the press is trying to tell you through polling and everything else, give up. President's not going to be reelected. Look at Biden. Biden hasn't even talked to anybody in months. Some would say years. And he's beating the president by multiple percentage points here. Double digits. Wrong. I'm telling you, it's all wrong. The narrative is wrong. And Schoen's called it. And here's the divide. You've got the uber liberals out there trying to tank the economy, right? They're trying, and I believe that. I believe they are trying to tank the economy using COVID-19. And here's Disney, uber left, right? Card carrying the water of the left.
Yep.
And they're just sitting around going, fellas, 37% of our bottom line comes from these parks. We're opening. We're going to do it smartly. We're going to do it the best we can, but we're going to start making some money. We have too many employees that we got to keep fed. We got too much business that's on the line. Our stock is going to plummet if we don't do something. That's the message of Disney opening in the midst of the uptick in cases. They have a business to run, and that's the message here. That's the message that I'm trying to get local leaders to understand, state leaders, communities listening to this show all over the country. You have to get to work and learn to live with this. Back with more of The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Two of the morning show with Preston Scott. I'm Preston, 5 minutes after the hour. Thanks so much for listening, wherever, however. We appreciate you sharing some time with us. That is Dallas Rogers over there in Studio 1A. I am here in Studio 1B. And I think if there was a apt description of what they meant when they sang about the long and winding road, it would be the story of the Tallahassee Classical School. And with me, the principal, Adrian Campbell. Adrian, how are you?
Good morning, Preston. We are doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, but this has been the long and winding road. Catch everybody up. Let's go back to how long of a process it has been for you to get this school ready to open.
Yeah, well, our co-founder, Janice Saylor, and I, we started writing the application for this school 4.5 years ago and submitted it. You know, 2 years in the making with the writing, and we then had to appeal because our charter application was denied by Leon County Schools. We won our appeal. We had to postpone due to not being able to secure a temporary facility. We were able to secure land out in Southwood with St. Joe this summer, and we have been working very diligently to get our facility up and ready in order to open in August. So that's the short of it.
Yeah, and when you say you were turned down by, denied by the Leon County Schools, it's the school board, because the staff approved. The staff said you guys did everything right, crossed every T, dotted every I, but the board said no. What has been the reception from school board members or the superintendent, the presence of this school, since you are now officially approved?
We've been working with Leon County School District staff, and that has been a really wonderful experience.
Good.
We're sad that we didn't get a representative from the school board to join us for the groundbreaking, but maybe for the ribbon cutting, we would love to have a school board member or Superintendent Hannah join us.
When is that?
We are slated for July 30th at 4:30 on our property, 4141 Artemis Way. We are working with the Florida Department of Health to finalize some of those details to ensure we do that as safely as possible given the COVID pandemic.
The website is tlhclassical.org. What makes this school unique among schools?
We're a very content-rich classical education. So we focus on the traditional liberal arts and sciences. We discuss moral character and civic virtue. So in our novels that we read, we talk about virtue and vice. Our classroom is a part of the great conversation. So we have Socratic seminars with our students. They teach Latin and penmanship and cursive writing. Kids read literature together so they can share in the experience. And we use a core knowledge sequence from Dr. Edie Hirsch, which is out of the University of Virginia, to promote cultural literacy. So all of those things, along with being affiliated with Hillsdale College through the Barney Charter School Initiative, kind of make up what we offer to our community.
Yeah, it take a second longer and explain that little nugget you just dropped there, Adrian, and that is the affiliation with Hillsdale College.
Yeah, so we're affiliated through the Barney Charter School Initiative, and they have now about 30 schools nationwide. We call them sister schools. There's actually another one opening up in Jacksonville in the fall. But we work together. We have a scope and sequence that was provided by Hillsdale. Hillsdale trains our teachers. They train our governing board. They partner with us. I have a mentor, actually Dr. O'Toole, who is the assistant provost, is my mentor, who worked in Leander, Founders Leander in Texas. And they really just help support classical charters like us to get us up and running and make sure that we can teach the content with fidelity, because some of these skills, some of these things have been lost in time. And so they want to make sure that they support our teachers and our administrative staff to do the best job possible to bring this liberal arts education back to the communities.
We're going to take a few more minutes with Adrienne Campbell. She's the principal of Tallahassee Classical School. You want to learn more, it's tlhclassical.org. When we come back, we'll talk about how they are acquiring their students, who makes up the student body, what grades they offer, and so forth. Stick around. It's 10 minutes after the hour on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
They all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock in the Eastern Time Zone, 6 in the Central. We're talking Adrienne Campbell. It is Tallahassee Classical School, tlhclassical.org. Adrienne, I think we're getting a glimpse of what makes the school unique among other schools. What grades are you focusing on?
We're starting kindergarten through 8th grade for the 2020-2021 school year. We are going to matriculate a grade a year, and we're going to open a 9th grade next year, 10th, 11th, 12th, and we have goals to also build a brand new facility to house our upper schools. We'll have a lower school and an upper school, and we'll eventually be K-12.
How much property do you have?
13.5 acres, and we have the ability to purchase additional acreage from St. Joe, and so we will be expanding that acreage, hopefully in the next 2 years.
Will there be an athletic program offered over time?
Absolutely. We love the arts, we love music, and we love the athletic component of what makes up a sound education. We call them co-curriculars, not extracurriculars. And so we plan on having in the works a gymnasium and a track and field and a soccer field and a baseball diamonds. And so all of those things are to come in our future. And we'll start with clubs in year one.
Do you have a mascot yet? I mean, is it going to be the Tallahassee Classical Thespians?
Yeah. Well, actually, our road, Artemis Way, is named after our mascot, Artemis. She is the goddess of the hunt and protector of children, and she is an archer herself, and we just loved what she represented as two women who started a school together. She's, I think, the only female mascot in the county, and so we just liked her, and so that's our mascot.
Mm-hmm. The archers?
Yeah, we're the archers, and Artemis is our mascot.
Okay. tell me now how a parent goes about, I mean, is this open to any student if they can get the transportation there?
That's right. We're an independent, nonprofit, public charter school. So we're a grassroots school. There's not a money-making company that's behind the school at all. And so we still have a couple open seats that are available due to just shifting plans with, you know, COVID-19, families moving in and out of town. And so if you're interested in having your child enrolled at Tallahassee Classical School, you head to our website under admissions, and you can still turn in an application to join us in the fall. And our lotteries have been completed, and so now we're just working through our wait list.
How will you handle if there's a decision to do off-site learning for a while?
Our sister schools have already done that for an entire quarter and done it very successfully. And I also worked for Florida Virtual School for 6 years. So we'll be setting up Google Classroom. We're going to be setting up Zoom accounts for teachers to do synchronous sessions. We're going to be providing videos and schedules for our students. And we are fully equipped and ready to move to a distance learning platform if needed.
When's your school year start?
We are looking at August 19th. The Leon County School Board said that they could potentially be moving the start of the school year back, as we have a contract with Leon County Schools in which one of the stipulations is that we do start on the first day of school that they start. We will start and follow the Leon County school schedule in year one.
Adrian, good luck. I wish you all well, and congratulations on getting this far. I remember the battle with the school board, and I remember the outrage I felt with what happened, but congratulations for staying the course and seeing this through. I wish you all well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. One of our virtues is perseverance, and we hope that our community sees that through the work we continue to do for them.
Thanks so much, Adrian. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Adrian Campbell, principal, Tallahassee Classical School. The website, very simple to navigate, easy to look at, and a lot of reasons to like it. Because what they're doing, if you know anything about Hillsdale College, that will be all that I need to say. Hillsdale College. Done. You can bet their civics history stuff is going to be buttoned down. I'm very excited about this school. 16 minutes after the hour. Come back. The big story in the press box. And it's, as Keith Jackson would say, it's a big one on the morning show.
FLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
And free.
An iHeart's radio station.
As fate would have it, right now, Steve Ducey on Fox talking with U.S. Congressman Brian Mast from Florida. The headline, some Florida labs not reporting negative results.
Did we break a story?
We didn't break it.
I know. I want to say that we did, though.
Well, I'm pretty confident we talked about it before anybody did.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure that happened.
And that's because of you. All of you that listen to this program, and all I can do is continue to ask, as you forward things, do your best to vet them before you forward them. Because it's tough for me to vet every single thing that comes through. I get between 11 and 1,500 email a week. And I'm not, oh, wow, look at me, nothing up my sleeve, Presto. No, it's all about managing that. And respecting the effort that you put into communicating with us. So do your best, but we got some information starting early in the week about phony testing. And I'm not necessarily certain that the labs, all of these labs were, but the places they were sending the tests to, they would send, we got reports, two different reports from two different areas that said that they took these swabs that basically knock memories out of your brain, they go up in your melon so far, and they didn't use them. They took swabs that had never been used, and they sealed them up and put them in the mailer, and in one case, all of them came back positive. In another case, 6 out of 10, when none of them had been used. Okay, well, that's a problem. Now, all of a sudden, I get another email. And it says 333 Florida COVID testing labs reported 100% positive results in today's state report. That's 34% of the new cases. And that's just this sampling showing 100%. As Dallas and I talked about, it would make some sense if a lab somewhere has 5-8 people come in and they're coughing and wheezing and, you know, they're running fevers and, yeah, that 100% of a small number like that could come back positive. That would be absolutely believable.
Yep, totally.
But 444 in one lab, 397 in another, 323 in a third, 318 in a fourth, 210 and a fifth, 188, 120, 94. No, that is statistically not possible. It just isn't.
But Preston, you don't know if all of those people were really sick.
You're right. I don't know. But I do know that we have been testing people that have had no symptoms for quite a while. And a large number of them aren't sick.
The problem here is not whether or not those people are sick. The problem here is we don't know because the authority that we send the test to is lying.
And now the Florida Department of Health is onto it.
Yeah.
Listen to what Fox 35 Orlando found out. Reporting to Orlando Health, which had a 98% positivity rate. However, when Fox 35 contacted the hospital, they confirmed errors in the report. Orlando Health positivity rate is 9.4%. Hold on now. Let's take a look at that for a second. All the panic that has happened. 98% when in reality it's 9. In the in another place, the VA center in Orlando, positivity rate of 7.76%. The center said actually it's 6%. This is Fox News 35 Orlando. This isn't some right-wing blog. This isn't some conservative outlet. This is a set of statistical impossibilities that are being used to create policy on a local level. This is a problem. Meanwhile, Disney said, yeah, we're opening. Keep in mind, they just finished opening everything up yesterday, maybe. Today might be the final park that they open. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it in the face of this massive uptick. The message is this: we have to open. We have to save our business. That's the message. 37% of Disney revenues come from those parks. They have to open.
Imagine if Disney was a barbershop, what kind of trouble they'd get.
Oh, that was so cold. 27 minutes after the hour, Bill Zimfer on deck on the morning show with Preston Scott.
Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Five minutes after the hour, it is Wednesday on the morning show with Preston Scott. Good morning. Dallas Rogers there in Studio 1A. I'm here in Studio 1B. Remotely working with us this morning on Hump Day is our own intrepid reporter, Bill Zimfer. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Preston.
Bill, we're getting closer to convention time, or are we?
Yeah, we are. It's just whether we're going to consider these to be conventions. Because, and first of all, it's hard to believe this was to have been the week that Democrats gathered in Milwaukee, where we expected to see Joe Biden walk hand in hand with his running mate out on the stage, and we would hear debates over the platform. But it was supposed to happen this week. It was earlier postponed until next month, mid-August, and now it looks like that event is going to be a largely virtual affair. They have already relocated everything from the arena to the convention center. They're telling state delegates to remain home, so it will basically be national party officials, maybe some state party officials there. Joe Biden is expected to be there to accept the nomination in person, but everything else virtual. They say that all the official business, setting the rules, adopting the platform, formal nomination, will be conducted remotely, and they will conduct 2 weeks of virtual voting on some of these issues from August 3rd to the 15th. And you know what, Preston? I think the Democrats are going to miss out here on something, because what the conventions do normally is, for a lot of us who watch, it's like, okay, I enjoy seeing the scuffles in the crowds and things like that, but we don't have that much interest in it other than seeing the candidates give their acceptance speech. But it's the enthusiasm that they count on generating at the convention that then the state delegates take home to their home states, and that's going to be missing. And already there's a lack of enthusiasm over the Biden campaign, even among Democrats who are kind of, about Joe Biden. So I think that's something they'll be missing. The real fun going to be in Jacksonville, and maybe not for all the right reasons. The RNC says they will push ahead with a safe convention, they say, that complies with all the local health regulations that are in effect. Now they say they may move some events outdoors, but Florida, August, outdoors, maybe doesn't add up to the best scene.
Bill, what are the chances that both conventions are then hacked? If they're going to be doing some virtual stuff, yeah. More the Democrat, obviously, if the Republicans are going to stay with more of an in-person convention,
yeah.
What are the chances that the dissidents are hacking in and disrupting things digitally?
That's always a possibility, and I think it's something that they have to consider as they look into this. I mean, we know that there are groups inside and outside the country who would be interested in disrupting our election process and would be interested in disrupting the political process in any way they can. So I think that's something that has to be considered.
What are the odds that Jacksonville does go ahead and go forward, the Republicans to our east and have that convention?
I'd say at this, I would still give it a 60-40 chance of going ahead.
Yeah, that's about where I am. Yep.
Yeah, but you look at the factors. Number one, we talked about that. If you're going to have it outdoors, there are issues there. Second part is a growing list of Republican politicians are saying they're not going. Because of fears over the virus or for whatever reason. And then, how about this one? For another freakish coincidence here, the day that President Trump would officially accept the nomination, August 27th, is known as Axe Handle Day in Jacksonville, 60th anniversary of race riots. I mean, you can't buy a break.
Oh, man. Bill, thank you, buddy. We're edging closer to Friday. That's all I can say.
Sounds good. Can we just go there?
I wish. Yeah. Thank you, all Bill.
Right. Okay.
Bill's in for with us this morning on The Morning Show with Preston Kyle. We come back, the rest, the story that didn't make big story status but might as well be. That's next on The Morning Show. All righty. I'm just going to read. I'm going to get to some things I didn't last hour.
Okay.
I came to the Times in 2017 to help offer a different perspective. The Times' failure to anticipate the outcome of the 2016 election meant that it didn't have a firm grasp of the country it covers. But the lessons that ought to have followed the election, lessons about the importance of understanding other Americans, the necessity of resisting tribalism and the certainty of the free exchange of ideas to a democratic society have not been learned. Instead, a new consensus has emerged in the press, but perhaps especially at this paper, that truth isn't a process of collective discovery, but an orthodoxy already known to an enlightened few whose job is to inform everyone else. As the ethics and mores of that platform, referring to Twitter, being the editorial, in fact, director of the Times, in her words, as the ethics and mores of that platform, Twitter, have become those of the paper itself has increasingly become a kind of performance space. Stories are chosen and told in a way to satisfy the narrowest of audiences, rather than to allow a curious public to read about the world and then draw their own conclusions. I was always taught that journalists were charged with writing the first rough draft of history. Now history itself is one more ephemeral thing molded to fit the needs of a predetermined narrative. They have called me a Nazi and a racist. I've learned to brush off comments about how I'm writing about the Jews again. Several colleagues perceived to be friendly with me were badgered by coworkers. My work and my character are openly demeaned on company-wide Slack channels where masthead editors regularly weigh in. I certainly can't square you how you, the publisher, and other Times leaders have stood by while simultaneously praising me in private for my courage. Showing up for work as a centrist at an American newspaper should not require bravery. Part of me wishes I could say that my experience was unique, but the truth is, it is intellectual curiosity, let alone risk-taking, that is now a liability at the Times. I'm going to fast forward here. The paper of record is more and more the record of those living in a distant galaxy, one whose concerns are profoundly removed from the lives of most people. This is a galaxy in which, to choose just a few recent examples, the Soviet space program is lauded for its diversity, the doxing of teenagers in the name of justice is condoned, and the worst caste systems in human history includes the United States alongside Nazi Germany. Rule 1, speak your mind at your own peril. Rule 2, never risk commissioning a story that goes against the narrative. Rule 3, never believe an editor or publisher who urges you to go against the grain. Eventually, the publisher will cave to the mob, the editor will get fired or reassigned, and you'll be hung out to dry. Listen to these final words. Which brings what makes the illiberal environment...
Did she use that?
She used my word.
Yes.
My word. Which is what makes the illiberal environment especially heartbreaking. I can no longer do the work that you brought me here to do. The work that Adolf Oakes described in that famous 1896 statement. To make of the columns of the New York Times a forum for the consideration of all questions of public importance. And to that end, to invite intelligent discussion from all shades of opinion. That, the resignation letter of opinion columnist and editor for the New York Times, Barry Weiss. She had enough. Mic drop and walk away. 46 minutes after the hour. Fifty-one minutes after the hour of the morning show with Preston Scott, Charlie Strickland, just a little bit. Talon Outdoors co-host and co-founder of the Talon Training Group. Our personal defense segment, we'll talk about a story in the news, tragic story, as well as what we may learn from it. And it's really informed by the whole COVID-19 thing. It's crazy. Some of you may remember the Saturday Night Live skit where Dan Aykroyd played a Tom Snyder-like character doing a television phone-in segment and he can't get a call. And so he just keeps throwing out the most bizarre topics in the world. Aliens abducting nuns. What do you think? Call me now at 8, you know, and that's not gaining any traction. So he keeps throwing out the more outlandish storylines or topics to try to generate some phone call. Just somebody please call him. And it reminded me, this story reminded me of that segment on Saturday Night Live. It's as if Hillary Clinton on The Daily Show decided, I've got to throw something out to be relevant because no one's talking about me. I've got to throw out something provocative. I have to say something because I'm being ignored. I don't like it. I mean, she spent her married life being ignored by her husband. And God bless her for putting up with that. But she said... On The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, whoever he is. Republicans have two prongs to their strategy to win. The first is to try to prevent as many people who they think won't vote for them from voting. So make the lines really long where young people vote or African Americans vote or Hispanics vote. Try to make it vote by mail as difficult as possible. Claim it's fraudulent when indeed it's not. In fact, that's how Donald Trump votes. And everybody knows about vote by mail, understands that. I have a book here written by Eric Eggers. It has over 50 plus pages. I think I counted 53 pages of sources to back the facts in the book on fraudulent elections, ballot harvesting, fraud with mail-in ballots, and so forth. I'm just pointing out, when she says it doesn't happen, and everybody knows that, that's a lie. But then she goes a step further. She cautioned that we have to be ready. Americans should be ready if Trump won't go quietly after the election.
I actually had someone ask me that the other day. They said, because they were like, you know, are you a Trump supporter? I said, I'm an American supporter. So right now he's the guy in charge. Yeah, so I guess I am. And they're like, well, you know, when the election happens and he loses, you know, we're worried. We think he's going to militarize the police force and not leave the White House. I'm like, what? How does that work? I mean, how?
So far in history, we know of one occasion when a departing president attempted to run a deep state government, and it happens to be Barack Obama. I believe it's an aberration. The peaceful transition, if one happens, is what makes America great. It's what stood the world on its ear when George Washington stepped down with the full weight of the military at his command, literally commander in chief. And George Washington said, my time is done. It promoted one of the single greatest lines in the play Hamilton, the musical Hamilton.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
I didn't know that that was something one could do.
I didn't know that was something a person could do.
Yes.
The king says it, yeah.
You step down? Really?
Is that true? I wasn't aware that was something a person could do.
Could do. Grief. And so, it's just her effort to try to keep any light, any, on her. Hello, anybody listening at all? She's like a Monty Python character gone bad.
Hello!
Charlie Strickland on deck on the morning show with Preston Scott. Believe, and I begged Dallas to give me another 25 minutes. I wanted to start so badly at 5:35 this morning, it's not even funny. I was like, flip the switch. We have things to talk about this morning.
Y'all don't understand. He was even like, Gordon Deal's not even on this week. Come on.
I don't even pay attention to that. Sorry. For our next segment, it has been recommended that we play this. Some guys with some ARs. And then comes. How many times have you been sent that?
By everybody I know. I got it on Facebook Messenger, email, text. I mean, at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting messages and that's attached to it. And I'm
yeah.
Like, okay, I've seen it. Now I watched it a couple of times. It's funny. I just keep thinking, I wonder how many takes they had to take to get that right.
And, I would bet one or two.
And
or
how much ammo.
10.
But the company that sponsored that, they've got plenty of money, so they can afford the ammo, which it's getting hard to find.
There, we were trying to think of any area of our life that has not been impacted by this pandemic. Can you think of anything?
No, not really.
And if nothing else, that makes this a novel virus.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, I can't think of anything. I'm 60 now. I can't think of anything in my lifetime. Shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, I was like, really?
I saw that look on your face. I can't think of anything in my lifetime, Charlie, that has had this dramatic of an impact on life as we know it.
Yeah, and the thing is it should be in theory, it should be bringing us closer together.
It's in small groups.
A common outside threat. When 9/11 happened, we all came together to battle what we perceived as a threat. But that was a nation. Now it's a global thing. And the thing is, it's what this is doing. It seems to be driving a wedge between two mindsets, be it conservatives, liberals, pro-mask, anti-mask. Let's go back to school. Let's don't go back to school. There seems to be just about every walk of life. There's some, wherever I go, whatever I do, there's a wedge that is dividing us more and more and more. We were talking about ammo supplies the other day, and you know, it's been a matter of, okay, first coronavirus happened, so everybody started buying toilet paper and bullets and guns. And then the social unrest happened, so everybody continued to buy guns and ammo. And now the election's coming, and so people are concerned about that. And so, you know, we're looking at magazines and bullets and things of that nature. And then the discussion was, okay, so if Trump wins, one side's going to freak out, and it's going to get – so civil unrest is going to be terrible. So be prepared. And the other thing is, well, if Joe Biden wins – they're going to try to get guns and do all this stuff and take control and run conservatives in the ground. So be prepared. So this isn't going to get any better anytime soon. I think it's going to get worse.
There's a story in the news we're going to talk about next. I'm going to read the headline as we check weather and traffic. Dispute over wearing coronavirus mask inside Michigan convenience store leads to stabbing and fatal shooting. We're going to talk about what happened and what, if anything, can be learned from it next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Charlie Strickland is with me in studio. Woo! Get all the stuff in the back there, Dallas, that he's supposed to sign. We got all the autograph seekers.
I've got the paparazzi at bay.
Get the styrofoam cups from the beat and the koozies from TNT. Charlie is with me.
I'm going to have him sign my Def Leppard album.
I'll use them.
Back with more in a moment on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
His opinion. He just happens to be right. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
You can listen to Talon Outdoors with Charlie, J.D. Johnson, and even Dallas Rogers kibitzes every now and then on Saturday mornings on these very radio stations. Charlie, the story, the headline is bad. What drove this is worse to me, that we are at a place right now where people get that upset.
Well, the story, as I read it, gentleman goes into a store and he's not wearing a mask, and an elderly gentleman says, you need to wear a mask. And it started an argument.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I don't like masks. I don't like wearing masks. I don't go anywhere I have to wear a mask if I can absolutely help it. And then I try to get away without doing it. I don't want to get anybody sick. But then again, at the same time, anyway, long story short, in this case, it caused a disagreement. This private property, they have the, you know, if I come to your house and you want me to wear a mask, I have two choices. I can leave or I can wear a mask. I mean, period. Store, same way.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like it, don't do business there. You know, I don't like it either, so I don't. So they get in an argument, and the guy who would not wear the mask stabs the guy, stabs him in an argument over not wearing a mask.
43-year-old stabs a 77-year-old man.
Right.
And then
the police show up and shoot the guy with the knife and kill him. Is that the way you read it?
Yep.
Yeah. So didn't wear a mask, got mad, stabbed somebody, ends up getting killed by the police. Which, by the way, the unarmed social worker couldn't get there in time to handle this call.
Yep.
So
yep.
Unfortunately, they weren't able to negotiate this down to a nonviolent situation, and the guy ended up dying. And absolutely, if you watch the video, the police officer, the female police officer that was involved in the shooting, did an excellent job and is a perfect example of why cops shoot people and continue to shoot people multiple times, and they train properly, because she had a malfunction in the middle of the shooting and had to clear it. And it's an absolutely fantastic, It's a good video for training. It's a tragic video because of what happened. So let me preface that. As a trainer, I look at it as a learning opportunity.
Absolutely.
So when I say fantastic, that's what I mean, not because it happened, because that's terrible no matter how you look at it. But the thing is when you we're trying to change people's behavior, we are putting our thumb on people saying, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. And so people are getting hurt, over protest, or getting hurt, injured, killed. Law enforcement officers are getting killed all over the country just about every day right now, which is a normal thing, honestly, which is sad, but it's even worse now, it seems.
Because now they're being ambushed. We're seeing coordinated efforts to kill police officers.
Well, that's one thing when society supports you in what you do and they say, we are behind you, we back you, we believe in you, we need you, and we know it's a dangerous job, and then you're a hero when you lose your life. Now they spit on you and they hate you and openly treat you with disdain. And then when you die, they make fun of or ridicule your children that post that you did, my dad died a hero, and they just tear you up on Twitter and Facebook and everything else. This is what's going on. And I was telling you earlier, I posted something on Facebook about defunding the police and non-armed people responding to calls. And it's really,
We're seeing this though, where I think we're going to continue to see this as states, as communities try to clamp down on people and make things mandates that I still question the legality of it all.
Absolutely. And the thing is there are people that are just not going to comply, but you know what? There's laws against a lot of different things. When marijuana was completely illegal and people would walk into a store smelling like weed, people would still wait on them. Clearly they've been breaking the law, but we're going to go ahead and take their money anyway. And now it's just, and there's no comparison of the two issues, but it's not going to get better, Preston. I don't see it getting better. I see it getting worse. This is going to become the norm for a while. And so folks better have a plan, better be prepared.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Charlie Strickland with me of the Talent Training Group, and it's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
FLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Dude, yes!
An iHeart radio station.
One final segment with Charlie Strickland of the Talent Training Group. Let's use what we were just talking about in the break and just this entire situation. We've talked for years, Charlie, trying to advise people to have a plan, whether that's at home, whether they are concealed carry permitted to carry a firearm, and they're at a restaurant, shopping. Always think ahead. You think that applies to the situation we are in right now with just the simple issue of wearing a mask or not wearing a mask?
Absolutely. If I walk in a store and a mask is required and I need to be in there, I have a plan. I know what I'm going to say if they confront me, if they require a mask, if they don't. Before I walk into an establishment, I know if I need to go or not. I know if I'm going to stay or not. I know if I'm going to wear a mask or not. If someone confronts me, because let's say I do wear one and I'm in there, and I don't wear a mask. I wear, like you mentioned, one of those things go around your neck and pulls up like a that you wear when you fish or hunt or
right.
Whatever, because it's a little more familiar. I have trouble breathing in them, so I don't wear it any more than I absolutely have to.
That's me.
But, if I'm near someone, especially somebody that appears to be at risk, I want to do the right thing, but I don't like being told to do, so I sort of split hairs on it when I can. Like it or don't, that's it. But if somebody says, you need to leave or you need to wear that, and I'm 30 feet from somebody and I'm going, I'm not going to do it, I know what my response is going to be. And I've already predicted what their potential responses are, and I know how I'm going to react and how I'm going to say that. I rehearse conversations. It sounds a little weird, but I rehearse conversations like I did in law enforcement.
Yeah.
If I get to this call that I'm going to, this domestic battery, and I see this, I'm going to do that. And if I see that, I'm going to do this. And I sort of know ahead of time. So when I get there, I know how to react. And I could predict, and as you grow in your law enforcement career as a cop, you already know how the call's going to go most of the time. You have to be prepared for the unseen and the emergencies, but since you've already considered those two, you react faster. when people get mad and confront people in public, it's like the store where the guy got stabbed. He didn't know what the mental status, and we still don't know what the mental status of that guy with a knife was. He may have been on drugs. He could have been off of his medication and mentally ill. You don't know who you're dealing with, so you better have rehearsed internally your plan for these things. Come up with the, even with cops make traffic stops. It's, good afternoon, sir. I'm Lieutenant Strickland, Lynn County Sheriff's Office. The reason I stopped you today is I observed your vehicle travel through the intersection without coming to a complete stop. Is there any reasonable explanation for why that may have occurred? That's a script. I still know it after all these years. And it's, you're not saying I saw you do it. I saw the vehicle. You're not pointing fingers. You're giving them an opportunity. You're saying, you're answering all the questions. Who are you? What do you think you're doing? Don't you have anything better to do? All that's up front. That's the way a traffic stop is supposed to go. Professional traffic stop etiquette. Have that for whether you wear a mask or not. Have that for your business. Someone comes in and not wearing a mask. I'm sorry, sir. There's a sign on the door, the local ordinance says da 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 da. Have that script out so you know what to say every time so that you don't offend somebody. You know, because if you walk in and go, I'm tired of people like you coming here not wearing a mask, put your mask on. What do you mean, people like me? What are you referring? You said something that triggered them. Be careful. Okay. And if you're on the other side of it and you need to wear your mask, well, I have a medical condition. Well, have that up front ready to say the same way every time so that you're not bumbling and stumbling around trying to make excuses and you don't look assertive or confident. Looking confident looks competent. If you look like you know what you're doing, then you apparently know what you're doing, and people will let you do things that you normally probably wouldn't get away with simply because, well, obviously he knows what he's doing. I'm not sure what I'm doing. I didn't have a plan. So that's the way you get through life. Is sometimes you just appear to be smarter than you are. I mean, I've been trying it for a long time. It's working pretty good.
I have used this example for years, the difference between reacting and responding. Mm-hmm. Too often when we react, we get in trouble, either with our words or our actions.
Right.
When we take time to respond, usually it goes a whole lot better.
Yeah.
And response is a result of taking the time to think in advance.
If you plan ahead, I don't care if it's somebody in your living room at 2:00 in the morning, if it's somebody snatching on your car door in an intersection during a protest, I don't care what it is, if you've thought about it ahead of time, if you've planned, if you program the neural pathways in your brain on how you need to react, you're going to perform better, you're going to react better, you're going to do things that make more legal sense, that are more justifiable, that will get you through the situation and cause you to win the day.
Because we didn't get to it. Can you find a way on Saturday's show to make time to talk about? Because I've gotten so many emails on what do I do when I'm surrounded by a protest.
We've done it.
And I'm in my car.
We've done it. We'll do it again.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Yes, sir.
Charlie Strickland, Talon Outdoors with J.D. Johnson on Saturday morning. Dallas Rogers joins them right here on this radio station following another pretty interesting show. All things Florida. Thanks for joining us this morning on The Morning Show. Back with more in a moment.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
You will not laugh. You will not cry. You will learn by the numbers. I will teach you. Now get up. Get on your feet.
On WFLA.
Okie dokie. Charlie and I can go.
That's what he said. He came walking out and he said, man, this radio show just interrupted a good personal conversation.
Yeah, he and I can go. I love Charlie and JD. They're just,
oh yeah,
they're just two of the best people that you will ever have the privilege of knowing. And yeah, getting to know them over the last 10 plus years. And actually it's, I laugh at the fact and Talon Outdoors is kind of a spinoff of The Morning Show.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love their success. I'm so happy for them. It is work, hard work, and success earned.
It's funny too, because after I've worked with them now for a few months and I've gotten to know them a little bit, I realize now that they're very different dudes, but they're two sides of the same coin.
Yes.
Like you know, you've got Charlie, who is the tech guy. He's the guy that gets the business and the tech and the computers and the websites and the cash registers and all that stuff. And then you got JD, who is a walking, talking encyclopedia for firearms.
Yeah.
For all the parts, for all the accessories, brand names,
the
you
history
name it.
Of.
Yes. And so you put the two of those together, and that's one heck of a business model.
Yeah. They're good friends, yeah. And good business partners.
Well, they're good dudes, period.
And that to me is why the other things work.
Yeah, oh, it is. The guys you hear on the radio are the guys you talk to in the hall. That's me, that's always been the secret to radio. If you try to put on a fake personality, it shines through like a big throbbing sore thumb on a hand.
You remember my dad's lone piece of advice. Be who you are.
Yes.
Because the real you shows up when the pressure's on.
Well, yeah, the guy that taught me said, be yourself. You're the only one that's good at it.
Another way of saying it. I like that. Yeah, I like, Dad, his one's better.
I just loved it. I always thought that was great. Be yourself. You're the only one that's good at it.
Big story in the press box this morning, and this will linger over just a little bit. We talked about the positive test results, that they're just too many.
Yeah.
There just are too many. Too many labs are reporting. Everybody's got it. Everybody has it. And now we hear an anecdotal story, but I will remind you as we will share this in just a moment. I'm not going to share it on this side of the weather and traffic, on the other side. The new story that is now nationwide on Fox, at least, being ignored by the other mainstream media outlets.
Yep.
Fox 35 in Orlando reporting that there are countless labs reporting 100% positivity rates. It's a statistical impossibility. When the news channel followed up with Orlando Health, which had a 98% positivity rate, Orlando Health confirmed, yeah, there were errors in the report. The positivity rate is 9.4%. It's a little different. Just a little. How about Orlando's VA Medical Center? Positivity rate reported at 76%, confirmed to Fox 35 News, 6%. Yeah, that's different too, by a factor of 12 and some change. This matters. This matters. Look, I am not here saying people aren't getting sick from the virus. Yes, they are. There is another wave of this. You can call it a second wave. I think it's the same wave. We just delayed it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't necessarily think that the people that made a decision to do this or do that had nefarious designs. Some probably did. But I believe we made errors, and now we are exacerbating them by continuing bad choices, and we're hurting our economy. My evidence? Disney. Disney, deep left, far left, run company, has said, yeah, we're opening. In Florida, at least, we're opening. California, maybe we can't, but we can in Florida, and we're opening. And I think it shows, even against all the media pushback they're getting, and they are getting hammered in the social media platforms, they still got to pay their bills.
Yep.
Covered. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
All right. Thankfully, the state of Florida is now beginning to look into this. I wrote a really pointed note to the State Department of Health, the governor's office, saying, hey, look, you guys need to look into this. There's a problem here. And in so much as local officials are developing policy and mandates based on this, you guys have to do something about this, because I am not convinced, and I'm going to buttress my point here in a second, and it's just my opinion. I am not convinced that some of, and many of, maybe even many of these labs do not have an interest in seeing this elongate. To see this problem continue. First of all, it's great business for the testing labs. I just is.
Yeah.
just happens to be the case. That's what they do. Okay, fair enough. But there just seems to be a politicization, and I'm probably butchering that now. All of a sudden, I can't say words. Irrevocably. Yeah, that too. It's so funny, and there's a backstory to that. I won't get into it. It's so funny to me how we are so dismissive of the possibility that we have turned this into such a political game of football that there might be forces out there trying to stretch this out to damage the governor, which in turn damages the president. We go to this post on Facebook Live. Lori writes, to your point, Preston, a friend just told me they had friends from Fort Lauderdale visiting, and youth from their church were going to Miami for missions, but had to get tested for COVID. They went to the testing site, filled out the paperwork. The wait was about 3 hours, so they decided to come back the next day for the test. They all got texts that their tests were positive, and none of them even had the test.
That's...
Now, anecdotal, but I'm going to tell you something about the people that write me and write and post on this show, that listen to this show. If I had to just make a decision based on where it came from, who sent it to me, okay, where'd that come from? They're a listener of the show, regular listener. Okay, I believe this. I believe this account.
Because they know you're going to fact check it. They know you're going to dig into it. And they know that you're going to bleed it dry before you actually, yeah.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, obviously, I just talked about it. So I don't have time to fact check it.
Right.
But my point is, anecdotally, I've told you up front, this is an anecdotal account. This isn't a vetted news story. Mm-hmm. This isn't multiple sources are saying. This is, okay, a listener of this show has shared this, and it sounds as if, because it's a second-person account of someone that they personally know, this sounds like it's very legitimate. And here's what gains it legitimacy. The story that has been documented.
Yeah.
That we're getting false reports from labs across the state showing 100% positives in a caseload of 5 or 8, as the example I've been giving today. That's entirely possible that 5 or 8 patients that are really sick came in, got tested, and yes, they've got COVID. That's entirely possible. 444 out of 444 in one day? No, I don't believe that's possible. I don't. And we're making policy on this. We're about to shut down the senior year of high school athletes over this panic that we've turned loose. I am all for reasonable. I am all for, if you're concerned, wear a mask. If you own a business, set your rules. Set your rules. And I will follow those because it's your right to do that.
Yep.
I am not with this mandate. And Disney has gotten to a point where it's saying, we got to open. Disney is saying our business is at stake. I'm just asking you people, look at everything that's going on and recalibrate your thoughts on all this. 46 minutes after the hour. Minutes ago, for those of you on Facebook Live, I'll show you. A few minutes ago, this is what I was doing, staring at the clock. I just stared. Where'd it go? I mean, no offense to Rush, but I've always believed we've had the fastest 3 hours in radio. Today, there is no doubting that time moved much quicker than normal.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, as fast as it normally moves, I'm like, I feel cheated.
You didn't get to talk enough.
Well, yeah, it's like we had our full time, but I was so ready to go at 5:35 this morning. Mm-hmm. I looked at Dallas and said, can we throw the switch? Let's go. I want to go. And now it's like, you know,
Glenn Beck's over there with his guys that all sound like this when they put their voices on, and they're like, give me the microphone, Preston. And I'm like, give it back. I'm not giving you the microphone. No. No, I'm not done talking yet. I'm not
done, but I guess I am.
There's just so much in the news today, but they're and the thing about it is they're like hand grenades.
Well,
the stories.
But we didn't have many.
No, there's only two or three, but they're like hand grenades.
Yes. Big ones.
Big ones. Room clearing.
Fracking kind of.
Yeah.
Ghislaine Maxwell gets her bail request denied.
Really?
Prosecutors strongly against the release added that given the opportunity, Maxwell would use her collection of international passports, access to private transportation, and money to run. Her attorneys tried to make the argument that she would be holed up in a luxury Manhattan hotel waiting trial. The poor judge thing. Was like, No. There will be no trial for the victims if the defendant is afforded the opportunity to flee the jurisdiction, and there is every reason to think that is exactly what she will do if she's released. So, she remains in paper clothing. That's true. She remains in a cell with 24-hour monitoring and no sheets. I don't know how that works. I mean, how do you do that? No sheets? I
don't know. That whole thing is just weird. And somebody just said it on Facebook. Doesn't she own a sub? Like a submarine?
I don't know.
I mean, these people are super wealthy.
Yeah.
And they have all kinds of money, and they bought some weird stuff. But I for some reason, I remember that, too. And
I think she might have bought one on Neiman Marcus or Hemmick or Schlemmer.
Yeah, but
it's one of those subs.
Yeah, it's one of those deals.
Yeah.
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 Either way, keep her in jail. She's that evil, 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 evil. If even one thing out of the myriad of charges against her, if just one of them is true, she is evil to the core.
I believe he said she's evil. Finger to the corner of the mouth.
Error.
Go ahead. Time for the morning show. Scotty, moving up the bench. It's the morning show, 180. Look back at the program in 180 seconds or less. Fox News 35 noticed errors on the positivity rates. And they did a little checking and found out that, yeah, there are a lot of errors. State's looking into it now. Good. It's not going to change a whole lot. It's just good. Again, I think you need to recalibrate your position on all this. I'm not saying be rude. I'm not saying be... We need to think a little bit bigger here. It's time to get on with living. Open up. Disney's open. I'll just say that. Disney's open. Editor, columnist, New York Times quit after bullying. You got to just check out the letter. I read it in the show. Today was a really good show. Give it a listen. Glenn Beck's on deck. See you tomorrow.